This is Where We Live.
Have you had a vacation recently, and where did you go?
California.
I have had a vacation. I went to Lake Placid.
I went to Disney about a month ago.
Yeah, I went to the Jersey Shore this past weekend.
I'm going to Jamaica.
Yes, we discover small towns and off-the-beaten-path places. Life is a vacation for us doing that.
I think people do a lot of like long weekends or weekend getaways. I would love to take more than just a couple of days off and go somewhere, but I have not yet.
Do you think Americans get enough time off?
I think it depends on your job and your socioeconomic class and how you're able to use your time.
I think they're given enough time off, they just don't always use it, as myself.
Why do you think that is?
Because of the pace of American life.
My husband gets more than I do. We don't always take advantage of the days.
Those are some voices gathered in West Hartford Center by our intern, Katie Pikus. Yeah, some of us take vacations, but like that last person we talked to, many of us don't take full advantage of time off. Many people don't have any time off at all. In fact, we kind of make fun of vacation here in America as something that Europeans do. President Obama is on vacation now, and he gets criticized by the fill-in news hosts on Fox. You know, the ones filling in for the hosts who are on vacation themselves. Today, Where We Live, a look at America's vacation deficit disorder. We'll talk to some vacation experts to see whether Americans are taking enough time off, or if we really are a no-vacation nation, as some research has shown. Have you taken a vacation recently? If so, where'd you go? What does vacation do to recharge you? 860-275-7266. Again, 860-275-7266. You can comment on our website, WNPR.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. We're joined by a series of guests, but we'll start with John DeGraff. He's executive director of Take Back Your Time. John joins us on the phone today. Thanks so much for being here, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So how do Americans' vacation standards compare to those of other countries? We have a sense that Americans just don't take as much time off as Europeans or people in other parts of the world. How do we really stack up?
Well, they certainly don't take as much time off, but the fact is they don't get nearly as much time off either. The United States is one of a half dozen to a dozen, kind of depending on how the laws are enforced, nations in the entire world that don't require paid vacation time for workers. And the others are small and poor countries like Nepal and Burma and Guyana and so forth. All other wealthy countries and developed countries in the world require paid vacation time, at least 2 weeks. And in the case of Europeans, every European gets 4 weeks by law, and in many countries, five or six. So we are really the pikers when it comes to vacation time. We have about 26% of American workers who receive no paid vacation time at all. And one of the studies that we did showed that about half of American workers get or take only about a week or a little over a week off each year. The average is a bit over 2 weeks, 13, 14 days, but about three of those days are given back each year. So we simply don't take or get much vacation time, and I think it's kind of scandalous myself.
Well, I have to ask you about, say, that European model, 4 weeks off by law. I mean, that's just what the law says. You got to give vacation time, and hopefully you take that vacation time. Is that the result of fights over the years by workers to say, we need more time off, or is it just a part of the culture in other countries?
Well, it's a combination of the two. Europeans have always, I think, thought more of the value of time. But when we look back to the 1920s and 30s, American workers actually worked somewhat less than Europeans. And even up until the early 1970s, the hours worked in the United States and Europe were very similar. After that point, there was a divergence, and Europeans began to get more time off, especially vacation time, but also shorter work weeks. Part of that was a result of the fact that the union movements in Europe after World War II continued the push for vacation time. That was far less the case in the United States. And governments in Europe supported laws, and that also has not been the case in the United States. We had a proposal in 1936 as part of the Fair Labor Standards Act idea for a two-week paid vacation for American workers, but that really didn't pass, and we haven't really talked about it seriously since, except in the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, part of the United States, where all workers get 3 weeks of paid vacation in Puerto Rico.
We're talking today with John DeGraff. He's executive director of Take Back Your Time. We're going to be talking a bit more about some of the health impacts of vacation. We want to hear your vacation stories at 860-275-7266. We're also getting tweets, including this one from Gatamba, who writes, "It's a better systematic question of how we value the work in America. Vacations," he writes, "take a backseat to economics here. We don't really value the healthy and happy employee as much as we should in America, and it shows." So, John, tell us about that. What's the economic impact of all this? Maybe Gatamba and many others think, well, we view vacation as something that's a drain on productivity, but I think a lot of researchers would suggest if we took more vacation, it might be better for our economy.
Well, I think that it would be better for our economy, and it certainly would be better for our health, for our connections, for our family life, for a host of other things that we know we have lots of evidence that vacation is great for. I know that Joe Robinson can talk to you about the positive productivity effects, and I know something about that too, but Joe is more of an expert in that area than I am. But I can tell you about the health effects. They are very strong. And, for example, it's clear that men who don't take regular vacations are about a third more likely to suffer a heart attack than men who do. For women, they are about 50% more likely. Women are 2 to 8 times more likely to suffer from depression, for example, if they don't take vacations. And there are many other health impacts. I think those health impacts partly affect the fact that we pay more for health care in the United States than people anywhere in the world. And yet we, in some ways, have the least to show for it in terms of rich countries. We have the lowest life expectancy, for example, most depression and these kinds of things. And so I think vacations would be great for our health, for family bonding, for a host of things. I also think they would be great, very positive for productivity, but Joe is, I think, better equipped to talk about that than I am.
Well, let's turn to Joe Robinson. He's a stress management expert, a productivity trainer and speaker. His company is called Optimal Performance Strategies. He's joined us in the past to talk about vacation time and why it's good for us. Joe, welcome back to Where We Live. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Maybe you can talk about some of these health benefits before we get to some of our phone calls at 860-275-7266. There's an economic case to be made, but maybe a health case, which could tie into economics as well, Joe.
Well, absolutely. Plenty of research out there indicates that when people are allowed to recover from the stresses and strains of the daily job, that they have more positive affect, they are more inclined to initiate, they have more physical energy and vitality. If we look at the dimensions of something called employee engagement, which is what all employers want, that means people are 28% more productive. Well, they're more dedicated, they have more vigor, physical energy, and more absorption. They have better attention. All of these things are created when people are able to step away from the source of the job stressors and the strain. And so what this involves is psychological detachment. And so when people have that either at night when they come home from work and engage in a hobby, or whether they go on vacation, they're having a physical break from the source of the tension and the pressure and the stress. And as a result, they recover. So it's these recovery processes that take place that are essential for productivity. Because when people are stressed out, they're using a fraction of their brain's potential. The brain is constricted to a perceived emergency of a moment, so they can't see the big picture, they can't plan, and they have a lot of negative conflict and so forth. So, but anyway, when we take a vacation, we heal. Burnout can be cured, but it takes a 2-week process for that to take place.
And as we've talked about recently in the program, too, the longer you're under stress, the more it can actually rewire your brain. It's actually something that can cause long-term health effects if you spend way too much time under stress, Joe.
Well, that's correct, because one of the things that stress does is that it sets off various stress hormones, such as adrenaline, which then mask the fact that your body's going down and puts you in kind of a altered state that makes you think you're really handling everything, but you're not, because it's suppressing your immune system this whole time, so your body's going down. So it's an illusion, but we get trapped in it. And then actually what happens, the kicker of that is that when you go on your vacation, usually a lot of people, the first couple of days, they're sick. Because once the source of the stress gets cut off, then the false adrenaline is no longer there, propping you up. And so people's bodies crash, and they spend the first couple of days trying to get healthy. So it's not a good cycle.
That has happened to me more than once. Let's go to the phones and find out where you take vacation, why you take vacation, what it does for you. Kristen's in Vernon. Hi there, Kristen. You're on Where We Live.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah. What's up?
I am calling as a member of one of the professions that gets the most time off. My husband and I are both public school teachers, and, you know, we get a lot of vacation time built into our schedules, but it ends up being not vacation time, as I know, you know, a lot of people know we end up doing a lot of work around that time. And even just this summer vacation, my husband and I just took the last 3 days and went to stay at a friend's lake house, and being out of our home and away from all of the stressors of, you know, just being in that same space was way more rejuvenating than any plain old time off of not physically being at our jobs. But I think it was getting away, you know what I mean, getting the mind space too, away from where we were at home. And when we got up, it wasn't, oh, we have to do laundry, or, you know, the other daily stresses of life. And I think it was the most rejuvenating thing that we've done with any of our vacation time all year, was physically getting out of our home space and out of thinking about school starting next week.
Well, sure. Hey, Kristen, before I let you go, and thank you so much for your phone call, I have to ask you, one of the big questions in American society today around education is, should we stick with this old-fashioned calendar, this idea built on the agrarian model that we need 3 weeks off or 3 months off each summertime for the kids to rejuvenate or maybe go work in the fields as it used to be, and maybe school should be year-round, and that means teachers teaching year-round too. What do you say to that, Kristen? Do you think it would help or hurt education?
You know, I think that if there were structures put in place to still allow teachers to do the type of professional development and behind-the-scenes work that we use the time off that we get now for, I think it definitely could work. It does, honestly, sometimes get a little boring in the summer, and by about halfway through, I'm ready to get back in the classroom and start, you know, being productive again. So
yeah.
I definitely don't see a problem with that, as long as we can still get everything done that we need to do in that time.
Kristen, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. John DeGraff, this is a really interesting topic, I think. People who do get a lot of vacation time off, how they use it. You talk about teachers, whether or not this is a model. Here's something that America has done for a very long time that we've held on to. Teachers and students get a lot of time off in the middle of the summertime. Is it the best use of their time?
Well, I'm still a believer in fairly long summer vacations for children. I think that there's a lot of value in that. I worry that sometimes we've overstructured that time now for kids, so that they get less time to use play creatively, to use play as a way to learn how to cooperate and get along with each other, to use play as a way to mature and so forth, which I think is an important thing. I think now, with so many devices and with so much time structured for children, where everything is laid out and it's being children are being rushed from this soccer game to this concert to this event to that event, that's stressful for both the kids and the parents. I actually think that may be a bigger problem. But generally speaking, it is true that about 45% of Americans don't use all their vacation time to their detriment, and we hear from them that, for example, they think that they'll be seen as the slacker with the next time of layoffs. There's a lot of fear involved, or nobody else is prepared to do work for me, so I'm going to come back to 1,000 emails or things that didn't get done, and I'll be so stressed then it's not worth it. I think Joe also is very good at talking about cross-training and things that Europeans do, so that Europeans really make it clear that they want the workers to take that time off, and for the most part, people there do. So.
Well, but I think, and I'll ask this of Joe, this is a really important thing. It used to be that if you went away, you would come back to a pile of paperwork. It was called paperwork because it was done in, you know, paper. It would end up on your desk. Now you can do paperwork anywhere, including on the beach in Jamaica. You're probably sitting there checking your emails all the time. Is that really taking vacation, Joe?
In a quick one-word answer, no, because What happens, and the studies actually show this, is that if you're still thinking about work, you still have the negative activation, i.e. stress going on, when you're on your vacation. And so you have to have a complete detachment from it, and if you don't, you don't get the recovery benefits. So people who continue to check in when they're on their vacation are really undercutting the whole point of the vacation.
I want to go to Paula in West Hartford, who's on this topic. Paula, what do you think of this?
Well, it's interesting, and I love the topic, and thank you for taking my call. I work for a large insurance company, and I also I work from home, which compounds my issue. And they're generous with the vacation time they give you, but the amount of work and the production goals that are put upon you when you do take a vacation, you have to work. There's no way around it. You have to work. So this year, in July, I literally took my dog, left my house, left the laptop at home, rented a house in Rhode Island, and I can't tell you how good I felt when I came home and really made me realize how important vacation is.
Paula, I'm really glad you shared your story, and I'm glad that you had that experience. I hope you're able to take more of those. And John DeGraff, before I let you go, maybe that's part of the problem. I mean, American workplaces pile on the work. We're expecting people to be maybe more productive than they can be with the amount of vacation time we give them, with the amount of work we have to do. Maybe that's part of the balance here, not just vacation time, but just how much work do we expect people to do?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think with the way that we've slashed workforces and cut things back and all of this, this has exacerbated the amount of stress that people feel at work and the sense that they have that they simply have to work through parts of their vacation. It's ineffective. There was an important Boston study done that was published in the October 2009 issue of the Harvard Business Review called Making Time Off Predictable and Required. It showed when you took two test groups in a major Boston corporation, the one where people actually took vacations, did not take their were not available by cell phone and computer during the vacations, left work at 5 p.m. and so forth, and actually prioritized work rather than feeling like they had to do so much. Actually, that group, in comparison with another group that was working 55 hours, taking their work with them, all of that, the shorter working group actually performed better in every category, including getting more important work done. I think that's the key. We don't understand that if we limit our work time to some degree, we'll prioritize and we'll get the stuff we need to get done. What we do is there's an awful lot of make work.
Now let's go to one more call before our break. Rachel's in stores. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I was just calling. I work at the University of Connecticut, and we have a very generous vacation package, which we accrue as the year goes on. And I find that many of my coworkers are, as you say, they don't take vacation time. I take every minute of my vacation time, and I plan for when I'm going to have enough to take my next vacation.
And where do you go when you vacation, Rachel? There's a lot of different kinds. You know, there's the kind where you go and you explore a foreign country. Then there's the kind where you just park your butt on the beach. What do you do?
A little bit of both. This year I've been to Florida, Ireland, Paris, London, and I'm going back to Ireland.
Boy, that's the way to spend vacation time, Rachel. I admire you, and I appreciate your phone call. I want to thank our guest, John DeGraff, who's Executive Director of Take Back Your Time. Thanks for joining us, John. Thanks for all your expertise. I appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll continue with Joe Robinson. He handles stress management and productivity from Optimal Performance Strategies. We're also going to be hearing about how the Europeans do it with vacation time. What vacation have you taken this year? How did it help you? 860-275-7266. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Today in the program, we're talking about vacations, the vacations you take, the vacation time you don't take, why it's good for you, both for your economic and your health well-being. We're taking your calls at 860-275-7266. Your email is wherewelive@wnpr.org. You can also join our conversation on Facebook and Twitter. We just got a tweet from Allie that says, I get and use my time off, but I travel more and further if I could afford it. The hashtag is staycation. There's a lot of those as well. Joe Robinson is our guest by phone. He handles stress very well. He's into stress management. He's a productivity trainer and speaker at optimal performance strategies. Also joining us by phone now is Terry Hartig, who's a professor of environmental psychology at Uppsala University. He joins us by phone from Sweden today to talk a little bit about something that the Europeans are considering, well, differently than we do. Terry Hartig, welcome to Where We Live. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So I'm fascinated by this idea of collective restoration. We tend to take vacations one at a time. I take vacation time, then somebody else in the office takes vacation time. But this is a very different idea that you're studying. Tell us about it.
Well, the idea with collective restoration is that to understand the benefits of social regulation of time, for example, time off for vacation, we shouldn't look only at what it means for individuals, for example, how a vacation is good for an individual worker. We have to pay attention to the fact that an individual worker goes out not into a social vacuum, but in fact goes out into a social reality where the fact of vacationing or other forms of time off have implications for the well-being of others. So with collective restoration, we're really looking at the benefits not only to individual workers, but the benefits that spread through a population from a vacationing worker to, for example, members of the immediate family, friends, perhaps even people that individual worker doesn't know.
Give us some specifics on this, because I think we can hear a lot of anecdotes from our callers who say that 2 weeks I took off at the end of the summer restored me. It helped my health. But give us a little bit more about how it can help the collective, all of us, even those of us who don't go on vacation.
Yeah. We recently published a study in a journal called Society and Mental Health. Myself and colleagues at Berkeley, Ralph Catalano and Michael Ong, and Leonard Syme. And with this study, we reported on how variation or change in the dispensation of antidepressants to the Swedish population varied over time. We looked at a 12-year period, and what we found was that the more people on vacation, the more that dispensation of antidepressants to the Swedish population declined. And importantly, it wasn't a decline in the sense of linear decline. It was nonlinear. That is, the more people on vacation, the faster or the steeper the decline became. And that speaks to the spread of the benefits from individual workers to others. Another important aspect of the finding, or the set of findings, was that we found this benefit, reduced dispensation, not only among people in working age, but also people who are out of the workforce, people of retirement age. So we're thinking that, for example, elderly parents have the opportunity to meet their adult children and perhaps grandchildren when their adult children take vacation, and that this is something that helps them to avoid depression. So we see a variety of ways in which the benefits of vacationing can spread beyond individual vacationing workers.
I want to actually get to Monica, who's calling from Hartford, who has a thought on this very issue. Hi, Monica. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just saying that I only get 5 days of vacation. So I have to, you know, I went up to Maine with my mom and my husband and a friend of ours who her mother recently passed away. So I could really relate to the person on the panel because it really was a healing process. We went up, ended up going to Acadia National Park and hiking up there, and it was just a moment for all of us to heal from what recently happened. And it was also, you know, we were able to bond as a family and friends. So I, you know, even though it was those 5 days, it really like helped us to rejuvenate. And, you know, it's sad that here in the States, we don't really get that much vacation. You know, I'm going again in November to the Dominican Republic, but I have to take sick time in order to do that, and that's only going to be 4 days, you know. So that's the way things unfortunately are, but vacations are definitely needed because it helps you both, you know, mentally, and it helps you, I think, to bond as a family or whoever you're going with. And also just to meet wonderful people. When we went there, we just went up Route 1 and we just We went through Maine, we went through New Hampshire, and we really got to visit a lot of people and get to meet people that were from different countries that were here working, in the hotels just to make a living.
Well, and it's Monica, thank you so much for your story, because it speaks to exactly what Terry Hartig was talking about. But it's also, it's nice to hear you talk about this idea of just getting out of your environment and meeting new people. Yeah. We've talked about this on the program before, but Monica, it seems as though you can rewire your brain differently by just encountering people you never would have encountered, eating food you wouldn't have eaten, and taking drives. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It is. It adds to you as a person.
Monica, thank you so much. And please, when you get time to go away to the Dominican Republic, I hope you just get to relax.
I hope so, too. I used to live there, and my husband has family, so that's the plan.
That's the plan. Take good care, and thank you very much. Enjoy your vacation. If you want to join us with your call, 860-275-7266. Again, 860-275-7266. I'd like to ask Joe Robinson to maybe weigh in on some of what we've been hearing from Terry Hartig, and this idea that this can be a good collective whole, that we're all rejuvenated when any of us go on vacation, Joe.
Well, yeah, clearly. Research shows that when we take a vacation, it increases positive mood, increases positive affect. So that's the visible sign in your demeanor of optimism, and that is contagious in the way that negativity is contagious, because we pick up on the emotions of others through mirror neurons that make us simulate the actions and movements of others. So when we come back and we're in a good mood, that spreads to other people. We know that negative mood states and stress, called pass-along strain, move between family members and between team members at the office. So I think it's a fascinating idea to look at how time off affects the way the collective whole is operating as well. I think we could, if we look around the country here, I think we could certainly see that we all could use a break and a little more injection of positive mood.
So Terry Hartig, I want to ask you about another one of these ideas, though. This idea of us all just going on vacation at the same time, something that in other countries it's tried. Here in New England, we have traditions of school vacation week, where there'll be a lot of families on vacation at exactly the same time. But for the most part, we tend to look at vacation as I do it now and somebody else does it then. Is there some benefit to us all just getting together and say, take August off?
Well, yes, I think there are. There are certainly benefits in terms of coordination. If you have, for example, in a family, one partner who has 2 weeks off at the same time that the other partner has very much work to do, then it's going to be difficult for them to go off together and enjoy a different environment, different activities, and so forth. So when you have people who can't coordinate because there's no overarching framework for coordination, it's difficult to realize the renewal of those common resources that people would share. As Monica was talking about how important it was for her and her family members to bond, they needed to have that time off together.
I want to go to another phone call here. Dawn is calling from Newtown. Hi, Dawn. Go ahead. You're on Where We Live.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell a quick story about my father, who was in a small business in Illinois, him and three other employees. And for 25 years, he never, ever took a vacation longer than one time, Friday through Sunday. 25 years, no vacation. He then joined a major oil company, and they sent him on about a 6 weeks training course. When he came back from that and went into his office for the first time, one of the secretaries came in and said, "Mr. Brooks, the first thing we want to know is, what do you plan for your vacation and when do you want to take it?" He looked up at her and he says, "I don't understand what it is you mean." He worked for them for 15 years, retired at 62, and every time I would ask him about taking early retirement, he would say, "I strongly recommend it."
Well, Don, that's a great story. I got to ask you, though, your story made me think of this idea of early retirement. This is another American trend, right? We work so hard, we don't take vacation, but then we can't wait to retire, which is essentially a kind of permanent vacation from which you can't escape. I mean, do you think that, Don, there's still some value in that, or are you learning the lesson that, take the time while you got it, don't wait until you're 62?
Well, I'll tell you, I took my father's advice and I retired at 58 and a half. but I was also in a financial position where I could do that.
Absolutely.
You know, my father, as they say, worked for this major oil company. He took advantage of every financial opportunity they offered, buying employee stock purchase plan. They also had a savings plan and so forth. He one time told me he lived on half his salary. And when he retired, he was able to afford it financially. He played golf 4 and 5 days a week. And before he died, I remember him one time punching me with his forefinger in his in my chest, and he says, "I want your mother to be able to do everything that we do right now, and you're going to have to see that she can do it."
So, Don, thank you very much for the stories. I appreciate it. You can keep your vacation stories coming at 860-275-7266. Terry Hartig, Don reminds us of something very important. Vacation is in many ways a luxury for those who have the means to take it. We got a tweet from Nancy who says nonprofits, for instance, are notorious for no or little vacation time for workers under great stress. Once I lost a job, she writes, because I asked for too much vacation time. We're having a conversation here about the American versus European attitudes toward vacation. In a lot of European countries, frankly, Terry, there's not as much economic disparity. There are rules in place about how much vacation time do you get. Do you think from overseas, from your place in Sweden there, that this really is an American problem, that this American problem has something to do with how hard we want to make workers work, has something to do with economic disparity and the ability to actually take time when we have it?
Well, it's a complicated set of issues that you raise, John. The vacation legislation that we have in place in Sweden and elsewhere in Western Europe evolved over many decades. And those were decades during which workers were organizing and through workers' unions and interested legislators creating legislation that made trade-offs among, for example, time off and salary increases and so forth. Those are part of the picture of differences between Europe and the United States. There are also provisions here for people in Sweden when they take vacation, if they do not have tremendous economic resources, to have something of a boost in their salary so that they might have some change of environment. But the main provision is time off, and workers have historically traded time off against salary increases. I think it's been perhaps different in the United States, less time off and greater increases in salary. Somebody who's more familiar with those kinds of legislative issues could provide more background on that. But there are profound differences, certainly, between Europe and the United States. That said, I think there are roots, or if you will, seeds of this kind of thinking in the United States that are very deep. For example, in the Judeo-Christian Sabbath tradition of taking Sunday off, or in the national holiday tradition of Thanksgiving, that people everywhere should take some time off and be with family members. So in a sense, it's not an entirely foreign idea in the United States.
I'm wondering, Joe Robinson, if you could quickly comment on this question of privilege and vacation. The fact is that you want to help people manage their stress and be more productive and use their vacation time in a way that will help them. But so many callers and people who are tweeting us and just everything we read suggests that there's an awful lot of people in America for whom this is not as much of an option. What do we say to them? How do we get them to maybe be able to get some time away from the hard work they have to do so they can rejuvenate?
Yeah, well, it's a problem. As John DeGraff mentioned, you know, we've got basically a quarter of people in this country that don't get any vacation time at all. And largely, those people are in the, you know, lower rungs of income. And so it becomes very problematic for those people to, one, get the time, and then when they have the time, to be able to do something that doesn't cost them too much. Although those opportunities are out there, camping is still very cheap. As a kid, my dad took us camping several times a year for, you know, was at the time like $5 a night. These days it's like $15. I was up in the Sierras myself last month, and it's still a very economical way to travel. And in fact, in the campground, I saw, you know, lots of you know, immigrants and people from other lands who live here now and were there on a budget. And so there are opportunities out there. I think one of the things that comes to mind in this discussion, though, that's important is that, you know, people continue to work for a lot of reasons and don't take their vacation because maybe they don't think they have the amount of time. You can always try to talk to the boss about getting more time, and I've know people who have put out a proposal. Well, you know, if you can give me 2 weeks because I have to go to China and it's so far, I don't have enough time on 1 week. You'll see the impact on productivity. My productivity will go up, and several people have told me that that particular approach has worked, and then spread around to the rest of the company. It takes a little courage, but it can be done. Cross-training, getting companies to allow people to sit in for others when they're out in Europe, that's a very common thing. In the U.S. Army, that's what they do. So, you know, we don't have a plan for vacations in this country. You know, we have so-called vacation policies, but then when you take them, it's chaos because we don't plan at the beginning of the year like they tend to do in Europe. And if we did, it'd be just like planning for if an executive got run over by a truck tomorrow. So if we don't have, you know, plans, then things are a problem. But if we do plan for vacations, it can happen the same way that it happens in Europe.
I like this idea that we don't have plans. We always have policies in place. Let's go to one more quick phone call before our break. Jeannie is in Waterbury. Hi there, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Your previous caller, you know, God help. I hope his plans work out. But I'm glad I traveled when I did. I was fortunate to have a job where I had a flex schedule where I would work 3 days, 13 and a half hour days, but I'd have 8 days off in a row, and I traveled in the United States and then used my 4 weeks vacation time to travel abroad, and now I'm retired, I'm handicapped, I can't fly anymore, so I can't travel anymore, and I'm so glad I traveled before I got in this position. Mm. But I used every single last minute of my vacation time.
And I can tell that you're glad that you did. And Jeannie, what was the best vacation you ever took in all that time?
Alaska.
Yeah? What was it like?
Oh, it was great. And I would recommend it to anyone. What I did was I went up. It was 2 weeks. And I went up and I camped up in Denali National Park. And then I took the cruise down the Inside Passage after I went camping up in Denali.
Mm.
Oh, and it was beautiful. Well, no, it's a toss-up. Ireland was great.
See, when you've traveled a lot of places, it is hard when somebody asks you what's the best one. One thing, Jeannie, those are memories and experiences that no one can ever take away from you. I'm so glad
right.
that you were able to join us.
Right. And that's what I say to people because I have a good disposition. And Victoria Falls in Africa, it just takes your breath away.
I want to go to all the places you've been to. Jeannie, thank you so much for your phone call.
Okay,
I really appreciate
thanks.
It. I also want to thank our guest, Terry Hartig, who's a professor of environmental psychology at Uppsala University. He joined us by phone from Sweden today, where they get this, I think they get this kind of right. Terry, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls about your vacation time, 860-275-7266. We'll also try to find out whether or not we're going to get to a place where maybe we have some rules like they do in Sweden. You got to get more vacation time just by law. We'll see if that ever happens. You can join us, 860-275-7266. And this is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up Monday, it's the podcast revolution, from the business case for breaking away from broadcasting to the many styles, the neatly crafted storytelling gems, sprawling gabfest. We'll take a closer look at the culture and design of podcasts. That's coming up on the next Where We Live. Today, we're taking a look at vacation, why Americans just don't take enough vacation. We don't get enough vacation time anyway, and then when we get it, we don't take it. Why not? 860-275-7266. Joe Robinson works on this stuff with Optimal Performance Strategies. He's into stress management and productivity. He joins us by phone. I want to get to a few phone calls quickly. Mike is in New London. Hi, Mike.
Hi, this is Mike. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, I think I've taken the vacation thing to the other extreme. Me and my fiance, we're in our early 50s, and we leave in November, and we don't come back until mid-March, and we go sailing, and every decision we make is geared toward, in terms of our careers, is geared toward being able to take that time off.
You're making your decisions based on the fact that you want to travel, you want to do this, and so that's how you arrange your life.
That's right, and it's we are not rich by any stretch of the imagination. We live in a very simple house. We rent property upstairs, you know, so there's some trade-offs that we make, but those trade-offs allow us to go away. And the nice thing is that, you know, a lot of our friends so enjoy when they're here in the winter getting our Facebook and seeing the pictures and all the things. And, you know, that spread of goodness when the people go on vacation really reflects on not only us, but on our friends.
Mike, thanks so much for the phone call, and have another great vacation this year. Terry's in Bethlehem. Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling from Bethlehem, and I was thinking about this whole idea of not taking vacations. And my parents took some vacations when we were growing up, but not very many, and they both worked full-time. And they retired early at 62, and started on their vacation, and the first vacation trip, their plane went down, and they didn't survive. So all of their dreams to save for all this vacation and travel time never came to fruition.
Oh, no. Terry, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry to hear the story. What has any of this taught you about the way that you need to take your time?
I definitely live much more in the moment, and although I definitely plan for retirement, I don't, like, live for retirement. I live for now.
Live for the day. Terry, thank you so much for your phone call. I really appreciate it. One more quick phone call here. James in New Haven. Hi, James.
Hi. One of your guests earlier mentioned the military leave policy.
Yeah.
And I was in the Army. I got out last year, and I just wanted to share a short story. I was you're able to accrue a pretty good amount of leave every year, up to 30 days every year, and only a certain amount of it can roll over. And unit commanders will actually get in a little bit of trouble if soldiers lose leave because it won't roll over to the next year. So the last year that I was in the Army, I was actually, I guess, sort of forced to take a 15-day vacation. And I didn't really have any plan. It just sort of happened. And I ended up just sort of hanging out and doing some hiking and stuff and just kind of, you know, bumming around posts. And it's funny, in a weird way, even though I didn't plan it, it wasn't something that I had expected to be able to do, I got forced to take probably what was one of the most relaxing vacations I've ever taken in my life.
And James, awesome. Thank you for the story, and we just hear it over and over again. Even if you're forced to take it, you don't have any plans. It's just better for you. It's better for your spirit and everything else. Thank you for the phone call. I want to go quickly to Taylor Cole, who's director of PR and social media for Hotels.com, because they've been working on the Vacation Equality Project. Taylor Cole, welcome to Where We Live.
Hi, thank you.
So, okay, tell us about what this project is. What are you trying to do?
Yeah, so about a month ago, we set out to really answer what we see as a fundamental question is, why is it that 1 in 4 American workers have no guaranteed paid time off? And this overall, the statistic was from the Center for Economic Policy and Research, but we found that there's 28 million Americans who are without a single paid day of vacation. So Hotels.com decided to support the Vacation Equality Project, and that's really just to build awareness around this issue, but also to petition the White House that if we could get the responses, that they would at least be able to give us an overall response to maybe look at this issue a bit further.
You had a goal of getting 100,000 signatures. How'd you do on your goal?
We fell short, unfortunately. But what I will say is that response has been overwhelming. We had a lot of social media response. The press was very favorable. We also had just a really good dialogue. And we knew that the change takes time. We know that it can't happen overnight. We also knew that there would be some opposing views and some supporting views. And what we found is that this is definitely something that needs to be added to the overall conversation on the 21st century workplace, that the lack of vacation for Americans is something that's been sorely overlooked.
Well, and it's interesting. I think a lot of people will say, well, hotels.com, of course you want people to take more vacations because then they'll buy hotel rooms. But it does speak to something important about our economy. That piece of our economy, the part where, you know, people go on vacation and spend money, that's pretty important too, Taylor.
Absolutely, John. You know, people often don't realize that for working Americans, if you took just one extra day of leave, that could bring $73 billion annually to the American economy. And that's according to the U.S. Travel Association. And then just the overall, beyond the economic benefits, think about the health and wellness benefits. We reduce our risk of heart disease when we take a vacation. And that's for men, it's 32%, but for women, that's 50%. We have a higher chance of heart disease if we don't take those vacation times or at least get a break. We also did an independent study, and we found that 83% of Americans believe that vacation time brings families closer together. So, you know, I think that's really important as I look at spending time with my own family, that it's really important to have to build those memories.
Taylor Cole is Director of PR and Social Media for Hotels.com. Taylor, thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's just quickly get to Bob in Bristol. Bob, you just have a couple seconds left, but I'd love to hear your vacation story.
That's me, John, right?
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, thank you. I teach at the community college. I teach history and English, and I got a wonderful gig, and I get the summers off, except for I spend them doing extra advising and extra teaching summer courses and all that. I don't really need a vacation, but I tell you, I'm coming up on a really big one that I really, truly treasure every year. My wife and I go away on our anniversary to someplace every weekend before our anniversary or during our anniversary. And I have to tell you, those 3 days away are just so valuable to me, just her and me, she and me. Together. I just so much love doing that.
Yeah, Bob, I just got to ask you very quickly, where are you going this year?
We're going to Portland, Maine.
That's a nice, a lot of good restaurants in Portland, Maine. That should be a lot of fun. I'm glad you shared that story, Bob, because I think it's a good story for us to end on. Thank you very much for your phone call. We heard a lot of good ideas, and keep the ideas coming. You can go to our Facebook page at Where We Live. You can also send us tweets at Where We Live. Send us emails, wherewelive@wnpr.org. We'd love to hear about your vacations. Thanks also to Joe Robinson from Optimal Performance Strategies for his time today. And thanks to our interns who did such a great job this summer, Allison Ehrenreich, Katie Pikus, Josh Nalea, Britt Hill, and Lily Tyson. Colin McEnroe had taken to calling them the Fab Five, and I totally agree. Great luck to you all, and thank you for all your hard work. Where We Live is produced by Tucker Ives with Lydia Brown. The executive producer is Katie Solarski. We're also saying goodbye to another friend today whose name you don't hear on the radio. Jim Cutie has been our director of content for the last year and a half, and today is his last day here. In his short time with us, he made a big impact. Our website wasn't really anything to write home about, and you told us that often. Jim put together a plan, he hired an amazing team, and now WNPR.org is a news site we can be proud of. He also led us through a lot of changes here. It's something he's very skilled at. Before coming to work with us, Jim ran the online news site, The Connecticut Mirror, which I had a very small part in starting. I got to know Jim through that organization, got to know his humanity and his passion for great journalism. Prior to that, Jim had worked at another pretty good outlet for journalism, The New York Times, where he helped to start their online department and rose to be a masthead executive at the world's biggest and most important newspaper. We'll miss Jim's calm demeanor and his wise counsel and his humor. I don't even hold it against him that he's a diehard Yankees fan. Every morning, we will continue to meet over coffee in our third-floor cafeteria, which we renamed Cafe Cutie in his honor. Best of luck to you, Jim, and keep the faith. This is Where We Live.